The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday, as we work together to know the letter better. Into the deeper parts of Philippians, we travel to understand what things the Lord doth require of us, and if we fall short, to seek His aid in order to do better, in order to be better. First up, when we do stuff out of selfish ambition or out of personal glory, we give Satan all the tools he needs to generate divisions. Boy, this can be tough, huh? Next, the Lord gives us the tools to keep and to reinforce the unity that exists between true Bible-believing born-again Christians, but having the tools and using the tools, not the same thing. And finally, when we get saved, we all ask the Lord Jesus Christ to make us more like He is. And He says yes to every one of those prayers of yours and mine. And here is what that means.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Just so much more. I mean, even recipes. No, we don't do recipes. But the idea is we talk about food. So, I mean, that's important. Hey, we're just asking you, what do you think? You're welcome to reach out to us by phone, 972-445-0770. You're also welcome to text us. I encourage you to do both. If you're comfortable texting, you can do that, 214-210-8483. Here's the dealios. It could be very simply prayer request, a praise report, something that you have on your mind, a question you might have that we may be able to answer. If we can't answer it, I'll tell you. I'm going to write that down and answer for you next week or the next show or whatever the case may be. And then, of course, we do trivia. Now, let me just say that the level of prayer requests have increased, and I want them to increase because, for me, spending more time with the Lord is just like kind of cool. And if I have something to bring before Him, the more you have, the more people you're praying for. I mean, it's a better system when you're praying for other people. One thing I've notice, and I will tell you this right now, it will actually blow your mind, but when you pray for other people, if you will just kind of watch it, you'll notice that your faith ticks up a little. And the reason is because it's easier most of the time to believe God, that God will do great things for other people than He'll do for ourselves. And so when you're praying for other people, you have a little increase in that faith. And so if you keep praying for other people, then you swing it into yourself and you have more faith.
I know it sounds crazy, but it really does work.
Here's the bottom line. We're going to go into our first trivia. I'm telling you right now, and I'll tell you what happened at school, and then you'll understand what's going on. This is the academic trivia day. This is going to be – the first one's not going to be that hard, but it's going to increase significantly in hardness. That is not to discourage you. It's just like a professor wrote me today, and he said the reason that I set sometimes that higher standard is simply to help students reach out a little higher. And so when I got my grade back on my paper that was supposed to be, you know, 4 pages, and I wrote 10 pages because I'm, you know, like that, and he wrote, and he gave me a fantastic grade, and I didn't deserve it. And I wrote him and said, you were so generous with your grading. And he wrote me back and he goes, I just want you to aim higher. That's what I'm shooting for.
And I'm like, that is so good. That's great thinking. That's great teaching. That's great communication. This, by the way, this particular professor has nothing to do directly with the PhD program or technically even the Doctor of Ministry program. This is a language professor. So, yeah, stem cells and participles in Hebrew. Woo-hoo! Anyway, so let's get to the first trivia question. Here is the first trivia question, and this one's easy, but remember, they're going to get harder. What is the name of the man whom King David got drunk? Oh, that was not very nice of him, was it? Keep in mind, folks, that any topic is open for conversation. Why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I mean, this is it, man. We're rolling. All right, so there's a lot to tell you about a lot of different things that are going on. But first, we have somebody answering our trivia, I think. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on, brother?
Not much, just babysitting.
Well, but that's a big deal. Babysitting, that's hard. I've done babysitting. It was a lot easier when I was 25. Now that I'm closer to 60, it's a lot tougher. That's what I've noticed.
You're young, man.
Yeah, see,
this is one of my grandsons.
I got you. So that's kind of cool. And then when you get done, you can give them back. That's a good thing about that. You get to babysit the kids and go, here, take them back. All right, my friend, talk to me. Who did David do wrong by almost forcing him, just setting him up to get drunk?
Uriah the Hittite.
That is correct, sir. Uriah the Hittite, that is correct. And I want you to know that that's a very bad thing that he did, the whole thing. And if you go through the sequence of what he did from start to finish, there's about 14 separated sins in all of that activity, any one of which he could have been in huge trouble for. But that's right. That's where the plotting started. Excellent job, Ronnie. Thank you so much.
Can I do an add-on to that?
Sure.
Okay, you remember the 30 mighty men of David?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he was the 30th.
Yeah, he was the last on the list. That's right. You had the 3, and then you had the 30. Great. What's a good? I wish they'd do a movie about that. I think that'd be cool. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it'd be excellent.
Yeah, that's my thought. All right. Thank you, bro.
You're welcome.
All right. God bless.
God bless you too. Thanks.
All right, folks, so let's get into our – we got to get into our expository because our time is – I'm never going to get through this. It doesn't even matter. Let's just do the best we can. Have our expository music or our expository saying. Let's go.
Wow. 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 All I can say is wow. 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 All I can say is wow.
All right, let me just say that for those that don't like Steve Martin, I forgive you. And he just went out. He just did the funniest thing. This is why I like this guy. So he has a mask, and he was making a comment that people can't notice stars when they have masks on because they don't know who they are. So he took a huge sign, like a 2-foot sign, and he puts it around his head like he did with the arrow deal. He's got it around his head, and it goes, hey, I'm Steve Martin, if you want. See, that's funny. See that? That's
he is funny.
That is funny. Come on. Okay. Now, hey, I'm Steve Martin. Because you can't tell because I have a mask. That's just too good. All right, let's get into it. Here we go. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 3, but we're going to start with verse 3. Here it is. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Let's just start off with the very first thing, which is hugely important, and that is that Paul is saying, remember, under the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit leading him to write, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, don't be selfish in the things that you're doing. And Paul, remember, he was just talking about having the same love, being one in spirit, being one in purpose, having like-mindedness. Then he gives that absolute key in the negative form as to what to go, how to go about not creating those separations. And he tells you, he said, this is the key to stay united. This is the key to stay away from division. It's to make sure that you're not selfish, having selfish ambition or vain conceit. You're making sure that it's not about you. Remember that? We were talking about the movie, the movie with the little fish, Nemo, Finding Nemo, right? And they remember what the birds were saying? They were going, right? They were going, what are they saying? Mine. It's kind of like, that's the problem. Stop being like in the movie, okay? Because when everything's mine, you, and it's when I do me, it's a problem. And so you think, well, you know, it's hard to function that way, in the sense of not considering. And I'm going to show you in the next segment, it's not that you don't consider yourself. It's just that everything can't be pointing towards you. That's what it is. And it's in vain conceit. There's a vanity to it. And this is why fame is a very dangerous drug. It's a drug. Now, Jesus utilized it in one way, but mankind, who's full of sin, we don't do that good a job with it. We kind of use it and we self on all of it and point to self, whereas everything that Jesus did with his fame was to point to the Father through the sacrifice of the Son. And it's just like, that's so different. That's such a different position. So if you could join with me in this pursuit, even over the next week, just to do a few less things out of a self-centered attitude, a selfish ambition. In fact, what's amazing is Scripture talks about the greatness of selflessness and the folly of selfishness. You see the difference there? Selfless puts you back a step. Selfish puts you up in front. And it's like, if we can just do a little, it's not even that you have to do this brilliantly, and the Lord will help us grow in this, but we have to have a better awareness, a better understanding that we have to do the things that we do in a selfless manner. So one of the worst things I do, as I'm wrapping this up, is I'll do something at the house like the laundry or the dishes or the coffee, and I always tell my wife I did it. See, that's selfish. And she has now learned just to ignore me and go, thank you, dear. That's just wisdom. I'm telling you. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. As small as that can make a difference. Believe it or not, it's true. All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Every once in a while when I do the radio hosting, I have this wonderful opportunity to talk to people that influence the church, that are a blessing to the church. Today is no different. I am honored and blessed, by the way, to have the opportunity to talk with Pastor Robert Morris. He is the founding and lead pastor of Gateway Church. He's a best-selling author. He's written some excellent material, but he has a new book out which has the greatest title ever, next to the Bible. The new book is called Take the Day Off, Please. That's all I ask for. The book is entitled Take the Day Off, Receiving God's Gift of Rest. Pastor Marshall, are you there with us?
I am, David, and it is so good to talk with you today.
I do want to let you know before we get going that I was actually introduced to you by somebody at your church about a year ago. I was at a place called Inogen. And somebody named Robert, who went to your church, he gave me your book you know, beyond blessed, and I had not actually had the chance to engage on any of your material yet. I read that, and it was a really timely book, which was really cool.
Oh,
and then I was able to go and get your book on the Holy Spirit, which I thought was one of the best pneumatology books that I've read in a long time. So just so that you know, I really appreciate
that. Thank you. I came from a Baptist background, and so I have some friends that are Dallas Theological Seminary. I have some friends that are Church of Christ, and I have some friends that, you know, just come from all sorts of different backgrounds that are not quote-unquote Pentecostal charismatic. And again, that's not my background either. I went to Criswell right there in Dallas and to East Texas Baptist College before that. But anyway, I've had so many guys tell me that they really appreciated that book on the Holy Spirit, and they may not even agree with everything in it, but they appreciated the sensitivity and the way I handled the person and the Holy Spirit. You know,
it was a great job. I mean, I was born and raised Jewish. I became a Christian. I have a Baptist and a Pentecostal ordination.
And Pentecostal.
Yeah, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Calminian, and I'm a manifold millennialist. So anytime you want to sit there and talk about diversity, I'm there for you.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I hope you guys are doing good. We've got a lot of material to cover, and I'm never going to get through all of it. I'm just going to do my best, but we're doing expository so we can always pick up and go back to it. Okay, so we're going to do something a little different. This is going to be for those that can text, and then the one after that is going to be for ones that can call in. See, this is the big leagues, folks. We might be working our way towards doing a prize or a contest. So I can't tell you anything except for just follow this along. Okay, follow the bouncing ball. This is for texters if you can get it right. And then the next one's going to be for callers. Okay, so this one's texters, next one's callers. That means that you can text 214-210-8483. See if you can pull that off. Here is the question, keeping it straightforward. What is the name of the Pharisee who defended the apostles before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts? Big leagues now, right? I told you, big leagues, right? What is the name of the Pharisee who defended the apostles? So you kind of know it. Before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts, there was a Pharisee that defended the apostles indirectly, and I'm looking for his name. Okay, stepping it up just a little. If you know that answer, 214-210-8483. Don't Google it. Look in the book of Acts. You can use your concordance. I don't mind about that. Just go ahead and text in if you can get a chance to do that. Please do not forget our website as we are closing in on hitting goals, which is like, I don't think we've ever hit our goal yet. So it's so close. So our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Nice. Don't forget to visit our website. There's always new stuff on there, different stuff, and that's the place where you can give, which is why I put new stuff on there, so that you can go in there and go, oh, look, there's a giving opportunity. Okay. I tell you everything. There's no point in not telling you. By the way, let me give a shout out to Joy and Cordy. They got the answer right off the bat. That's really, really impressive. Okay. I mean, I would have had to thumb through. I would not have known that, just to let you know. I'm not going to do that. I don't have time to do that. I got to get right into the text, okay? You doing good, T? Doing good?
Yeah. Doing great.
Okay, glad to hear it. By the way, keep me in prayer for school. I did get a 95 in this last paper, although it should have been like an 85. But, I mean, he was being really nice, you know, so I mean, I appreciate that. And then things are lining up, and then so I'm hoping that tomorrow, at the latest, Monday, I have a really cool announcement. And the one thing I will tell you is if we are able to do what we're trying to do, we'll be the first live radio show to ever do it for a doctor of ministry using a live radio show. This is going to be the Lord does weird stuff. That's pretty much what I figured out. The Lord doth weird stuffeth. All right, let's go back to this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Let me tell you that this scripture has been misunderstood extensively. And why that is because what people think is that what they think it's saying is that everybody that you come across, they're better than you. And that's not what it says, okay? That's the translation. I agree. It makes it tough. But it's not where God is heading in the process, and it really depends on your translation, on whether you can follow the sequence. What Paul is shooting for when he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, is a selflessness, and we've already talked about that. So now he's looking for a humility or a lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind does not mean you're a piece of dirt. Okay, can we just stop doing that stuff? What it means is putting yourselves lower on our list in our minds. In other words, it's a priority shift. Did you get that? It's a priority shift. Remember, this is a letter to Philippians. This isn't messing around. This is what the scripture says. This is what we're supposed to do. And when it says esteem others better than yourselves, this is, in essence, it's more so better than you are esteeming yourself. Do that for other people. In other words, instead of always having you at the center, have other people at the center. And this becomes the big key. The big bottom line is when you esteem others better than yourselves, or more often than yourselves, or greater, which is what the Greek word should be, greater than yourselves. The word greater is not the quality, but it's the quantity, more like the numerical element. And what it is all about is fixing our eyes on what our neighbor excels in, not just on what we excel in. And I'll watch this as a tool. It's not difficult to look at your life and go, I'm pretty good at teaching. I'm pretty good at reading. I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at this. But the next five people that you encounter, even just to yourself, what are they pretty good at? That answer is how you esteem others better than yourselves. Because now you're not just thinking about how great you are, you're thinking how about great they are. God is not asking you and I to eliminate our interests in ourselves. What he's asking us to do is be concerned about other people's interests too. And the nicest, cleanest way to say this is you live in your little bubble universe, okay? You have your family, you have your friends, you have your coworkers, you have your social connections, right? And this is for everybody. You have maybe your pets, and you have your favorite shows and favorite movies and all this stuff, favorite restaurant, favorite food, got it. But that's your universe, right? You can understand that. What God is saying to you is look into other people's universes. And acknowledge that. That's what God is asking. It's not as though when somebody has a difference of opinion, they're your enemy because they have a different opinion. It doesn't mean you have to change your opinion. But we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to process. One of the things that I really appreciate about God in prayer is that when I'm praying, and let's say I pray something, and then right after I pray it, I know, oh my goodness, that's so selfish. Oh my goodness, that's such a wrong attitude about that person or about that thing. I say something to God immediately because I know I'm just doing, this is bad, I'm, help. It's like, he knows, he understands. And so then what I keep trying to do now is pray greater for other people and get more into their universe and offer myself that way. I even have people in my school that are asking for prayer. And I think that's important that they think I'm available to ask me to pray for them in situations. And it's like, look, that's what people need. They need to know people care. And I'm not saying I do this greatly, so don't get into that weird thing. All I'm saying is we need to make ourselves more available to let people know if you got something going on, you need to pray. I want to make sure to support your universe and what you're doing and what you're going through. Let me know so I can have that in my mind in prayer and support you and love you the way that God has commanded us to love one another as we love ourselves. You see, this is where that makes sense. It's like, you can't love somebody as you love yourself if you know nothing of them and care nothing of them and don't bother to get the info. You gotta step into their universe. And so Paul is just like, don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Don't do it out of vacancy, but in humility, in a genuineness of lowliness of mind, in dropping yourself down on the priority list, consider others in greater amounts than you consider yourself. Don't just consider yourself. In essence, the entire life of Jesus Christ was given as a sacrifice, right? He gave up his life. He didn't even have to in the context of he was offered an out, even though it was a wrong out. He was offered this. He could have just said, forget this. I'm not doing this for people, blah, blah, blah. Everything he did was for the sake of others. I'm just like, okay. And I'm not saying that that we're all going to do that perfectly. That's not the goal here. The goal is just to do it a little better than we've been doing it. That's the goal. To genuinely care. And let me just say this for husbands and for wives and for people in those type of relationships. You know, one of the things that I would say to my wife, I think I've said it to her for like a couple years, is everything going okay? Everything going okay? So I say it like that. Now, because I know that she was giving kind of a standard answer, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine.
Christian, that's the most used word in all Christianity. Fine, fine, fine.
Anyway, now I say, tell me what happened at work. Give me your high points. What took place? It's not because I'm a genius and I figured it out, but in order for me to know what's going on, I have to ask. And I can't just ask a surface question. Because that's what happens at church. Hey, how you doing, brother? I'm fine. How you doing? I'm fine, too. Praise the Lord. And then off to the seats. Nobody did anything there. There was nothing there. See, it was like, you know, forget the fact that I lost my truck. I lost my wife. I lost my dog. I lost my... We don't even care. Okay? Do you see what I'm saying? True Christianity embraces into that. In every letter that Paul goes into, he explains things that are going on. It's like, yeah. We have to take the time to read it, don't we? Or listen. And I just think that's an important element that we tend to miss. And just so you can know how important this is, the next verse that ties to this is the one that says, your attitude should be that same of that as Christ Jesus. In other words, God goes, okay, this is how Jesus is. This is how you better be. I'm like, you're like going, wowza. So God's pretty serious about this. These are what the commandments hinge on. To love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind first, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Get involved in other people's universes. That is the essence of Christianity, and it breaks down the power of division and separation. All right. The answer to the question on the trivia, which was a text in only, what's the name of the Pharisee who defended the apostles before the Sanhedrin? That guy, Gamaliel. That dude right there. That was the one. I can't pronounce everything. Leave me alone. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jingity-jing. It's Dominic the donkey. Jingity-jing. The Italian Christmas donkey. La, 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 la.
Oh, that is...
La, 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 la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas, I like the season, and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be, celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome, it's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree. And I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough. Because I was right there again, holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door, trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then, instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the tree, and I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, we've got a trivia question. This is for phone call in only. That means that you can text, but I'm not going to. This is for phone call people, okay? So that makes sense, right? It's not complex, right?
Yes, it makes
sense. All right. I mean, I'm weird, but I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yes, it does.
Just making sure.
I'm backing you on that.
Okay, all right. So that means that T will be the one who's answering. But this is not an easy question, nor was that other question an easy question. That's one of the reasons that we're doing it, is to keep things, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Reaching higher. Only not to make anybody feel bad, but only to help you stretch. That's the reason why. And if you or any of you were getting graded by me, you'd all get a 95 or better. How about that? Nobody would get less than a 95. Except the people that don't listen to the show.
Yay!
People that don't listen to the show get a 50. Because 50 in, 50 out. Anyway, in the book of Acts, there was a name of a man who predicted that a famine would spread over the entire Roman world. What is his name? Do not use Google. You should look this up. I'll give you a hint if nobody can get close to it. Let's see. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now we have our history, so we're going to do our – we have to keep moving just because there's so much stuff. I want to tell you this, that, and whatever, but I can't do that. All right, let's do history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, so there's a couple things about today that are cool. It's Citizenship Day or Constitution Day. So in 1787 on this day, they enabled it for people who were not born in this country to become citizens. Now, why I find that cool is because my mother-in-law is from England, and only about she'd been in this country for 55 years, and only about 5 years ago got her citizenship. So I always thought that's cool, that somebody would be that committed to the process. I think stuff like that's awesome, and I always congratulate her. Her name is Julie. She's a fantastic mother. She does a great job, prays for everybody every single day, and is always supportive of everything that we're trying. She thinks we're nuts. isn't that how that's supposed to be? Isn't there that one person that's supposed to go, well, you're crazy, but I'll pray for you? Today is also National Apple Dumpling Day.
I don't know. I remember the apple dumpling gang, but I don't know. Is that, it's like a food, right? Apple dumpling?
Yeah, I mean, I've never had it, but it sounds intriguing.
It sounds intriguing. It sounds intriguing. I like that. For those that don't know, it's National Shuffleboard Day. That's fantastic. If you grew up the way I did and going to West Palm Beach to hang out with the snowbirds, you would appreciate that.
David, you have a question.
Oh, we have a question. All right, let me just do this one last thing real quickly. National Monte Cristo Day. Did you ever have a Monte Cristo?
I have, and those are good.
All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Stephen. I have a question about a term used in the Bible twice that I know of, and I just wanted to know what it might mean.
Hopefully,
and
I can help you with that.
What's the relationship?
Okay, what's
when,
the term?
Peter asked, or Jesus was asked, how many times he should forgive his brother. He said, 70 times 7.
Correct.
And it was also the same thing with Tubal Cain in a completely different scenario.
70 times.
What's the relationship?
You know, I'm not sure if there's always a correlation in the mind of God. I'm not sure it's a revelatory or scriptural connection. And one of the reasons I would say that to you, the first reason I would say, well, let's make sure, is because that interpretation 70 times 7 is also the 490 interpretation. And somebody actually did a statistical analysis of forgiving somebody 490 times in a day. And so you'd be amazed what people come up with, right? It is kind of amazing. But the idea, I think, between the Tubal Cains, one of the things that Tubal Cain did, and if correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure this is the right one, isn't this the scenario where he said, if this was Cain's negativity, then mine would be greater than that. Mine would be more enforced than that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Here's what one commentator said, which is funny you should bring that up because I read this not that long ago, and they said the real audacity here is that this individual tried to make a proclamation about his retribution being that greater of God's declaration on Cain, which is in complete defiance to God and in an insult to God. Whereas in Jesus's case, when he's talking about the level of forgiveness, this is the pathway that God wants them to take. So on one hand, it seems like Tubal Cain's process on that was defiant, and Jesus's process was merciful. So that would be the distinguishing, but I don't know if they connect other than separating those two spirits out, like the blood of Abel is different than the blood of Jesus.
Well, I understand that. My only point was the relationship the only thing I could come up with was it was basically saying unlimited.
Yeah, well, that could be very well true, and that's an excellent point, because when you do get into the breakdown of the numbers, the whole point is they're missing the exaggeration, because it's like, if you do this, it'll be really bad for you. You know, it's like they're missing that. Or if you do this,
it
doesn't matter
how
many
times. Yeah, I mean, they're totally opposite context.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of the same thing, but going in the opposite direction. Good question, Steve. Really, really good question. I love it. I love that you do that, and I appreciate it very much.
Have a blessed day.
All right, thank you, brother. Okay, excellent job. I love stuff like that, okay? All right, so where were we? So we're doing history. I do want to just mention this one thing because I did take the time to write it down. Oh, wait, I just hit something. Hold on. There it goes. Okay. I hit a button and all of my red buttons lit up.
Okay, because I thought that those other people calling. So
no,
I was like,
no, I hit a button and then all the red things started to go in. I need a bubble suit. That's what I need. The other thing I did want to say about today, which I thought was important, the Monte Cristo sandwich, which is like one of my favorites. Okay,
I always get it at Cheddar's.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's why I'm glad I brought that up. And then the other thing I thought was cool, because I'm a space guy, is in 1976 on this day, the first space shuttle, the Enterprise, from named for the Star Trek, the Enterprise was presented by NASA. I think stuff like that's interesting. But then again, my brother-in-law works for JPL. He was the one that helped write the code for the Mars Land Rover. You know, I asked him one time, I said, well, what keeps everything, right in sync in the universe? Because him and I have definite points of view. And his answer was, it's either the 23.5 degrees that the moon sits from the Earth, keeping it in still rotation, or those little rodents that run around in that wheel, just keep things going, you know. I didn't say the family wasn't funny. I just said we have different points of view. All right, so let me – I don't have much time. I knew I was going to do this today. So here we have on this text, it says, do nothing out of selfish or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I can sum this up so quick, so that part's really good. What was the attitude that Jesus had about all of us? To bless others. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't do, the Son of Man has not come to be served, but to serve. Okay. Ding, ding, ding. You know, is there a microphone here? I'm dropping it. Boop, I dropped it. Here's the bottom line. The same mind of Jesus, the mind that Jesus had, he came to be a blessing. That's what it was. Remember that story, and I've told it before, it's not mine, it's Billy Graham's, I think it's Billy Graham's, at least that's the folklore, is that the father and son walking through the parking lot or walking through the area, and there's an ant farm, and somebody stepped on it, and all the ants, there's dead ants, and there's ants going all different directions, they don't know what they're doing, and the father says to the son, how can you help the ants? And he goes, I don't know, Dad, and he goes, you got to go down and become an ant. It's like, that's the key. The key is, that's what Jesus did. He essentially became an ant. In order to help us. And that's the mindset of Jesus. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to love upon us. And so the idea in that is, that's one of the things we pray for in the show, is to be a blessing. I mean, that's we want it. Now, I know there's going to be up and down. I know it's good and bad. I know it's not perfect. I get it. Okay. But you can still be a blessing. And if there's 100 things you hear and 3 or 4 of those things help you, bazinga, we did it. I mean, that's the goal. And so the idea behind this is for us to do that for others. Be a blessing for others. How can I bless this person? Sometimes you can just tell the person, I'm going to be praying extra for you because I just know that the Lord wants me to do that and the Lord loves you. That's as much of a blessing as you need to be sometimes. It doesn't have to be you have to, you know, you don't have to have a perfect doctrine. You don't have to have a perfect knowledge. You don't have to have a perfect level of any of these things. You do have to have love. I mean, it's just... You can't just take 1 Corinthians 13 and toss it. I mean, it's in there. So you got to use it. So you want to be a blessing to others, right? So that's the same mind that Jesus had. He came to serve and to help us. And there are times where we need more help than others. It just happens to be right now in society and in life and in the planet. We need lots of help because there's lots of, like, bad stuff going on. We need help. We need the Lord's help. Not just then, but now as well. Okay? All right. All right. The name of the man who predicted a famine that would spread over the entire Roman world was Agabus. Agabus, and I'm going to get on the bus. Agabus. At least I got that right. That's pretty close. All right, folks. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. All of mankind, destroying everyone
and everything he finds. Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
The David Spoon Experience.
So in this position, I have the opportunity to interview people and have so for the last 5 years from all across the range of Christianity, from authors and from actors and musicians. We are about to have an opportunity we've never had on this show. We actually have Lee Strobel on the phone with us. It was 19 years ago, I believe, this September 1st, where his book came out, The Case for Christ. If you're Jewish like I am and then became a Christian, that was when you went, oy vey. This book was a life changer for many, and now it's a movie. Lee, are you there on the phone with us?
I am, David. How you doing, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Thrilled to have you on the show. It's
Thank you. My privilege.
I just got to start. I know they give you a list of questions just so you can know, Lee. I never use them. So
good for you.
It's like, come on. I want to tell you, we're brothers here in the Lord. Talk to me. First of all, you wrote this book, The Case for Christ. Let's first talk about the writing of the book, and then we'll talk about that connection to the movie. Why did you write this book?
Well, I didn't start out to do that. I mean, I was an atheist. My wife became a Christian. So in order to try to rescue her from this Christian cult, I decided to use my journalism training and legal training and disprove Christianity to show that the resurrection never really happened. Of course, I ended up coming to the opposite conclusion and ended up coming to faith. But I did this investigation for my own edification, for my own education, not because I wanted to write a book. And then it was actually later my wife said to me, hey, you ought to write a book about that. I said, really? And she said, sure. So that's how the book came about.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Okay, I got to give T some time. She's talking to somebody on the phone, so if you want, I can take over for a minute or two. That will help you out. So she's talking to somebody. She's not getting a pizza. You know, sometimes somebody is going to call up and go, somebody's getting you a pizza. What is it? All right, so before we get into this last portion, I will tell you this, and I'll do the trivia in a second. But before we get into this last portion, I'm only doing a portion of this. We are now entering in the phase in Philippians, just so you can know. We're at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Verse 6, 7, 8, and 9 in the book of Philippians, all the way actually through verse 11, are some of the most potent theological elements. If I just drowned you with theological statements, some of you would really like it, but that's not the goal. The goal is to know the letter better, and we're going to kind of go from that angle. You might hear a few theological terms that you haven't heard or you're not familiar with, like morphe, which is a Greek word for the essence and reality of life. We'll probably get into some of that, but probably not today. Here is one thing I do want to let you know, okay? So I get on the air and I share with you and I talk to you guys about me praying for you and telling you the different things. I try to tell you the ups and the downs that I go through, hopefully, because as Christians, we all go through that. If you look at the life of Jesus, there were some ups and there were some downs. If you look at Paul's life, especially if you go into 2 Corinthians, the that portion where he talks about the sentence of death, if he trusted in himself, you see that Paul had up and downs. I like what John MacArthur said. I don't always agree with everything John MacArthur said, but he did say something super fantastic. He said when Paul went into a city, he never said, what's the hotels like? He would say, what's the jails like? Because I know I'm going to end up there. Understanding gives you a base to our Christian walk. It goes up, it goes down. We have victory. We have step backs. We have step forwards. We grow in the Lord. It's never that the Lord fails in a victory. It's that he's developing more character than he's concerned about putting a tally up on the board for numbers one, numbers one. God could win everything in 1 second. And you and I should recognize that. But he draws us through the process so that we can understand him better and so we can understand what's going on better. So it's really important for you and I to grasp, well, what's going on? Well, the Lord pulls you through all this so that you can really know him better. Most of you are saved. I mean, the majority of you. And there's no point you're getting unsaved. You're in, okay? You're not bailing. You're not going anywhere else for the words of life. But what the Lord allows and the Lord does, he does for reasons, for purposes. And even if it's hard, and many times it is, from our perspective, it's purposeful. There's never nothing behind it. That's a big thing for you and I to understand. Okay. Okay. Do we get all that stuff squared away? Yeah. Okay.
We did.
See? See, I take care. I don't let them give you all the time you need. All right. We got to do our trivia. The last of the trivia is very simple. You can call or you can text. Either one of these. Don't use Google. I wish you wouldn't use the concordance on this one because you should know where this is. What were the names of Job's three friends? Remember? He had three comforters. See, he had three I used to have a comforter, but my wife threw it out. Anyway, well, it was old. So that's all I can say. Job's three friends. What were their names? There you go. You can either call in or text 214-210-8483. Website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Awesome. Excellent job, by the way, T, today, so I appreciate it. All right, so do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, here we go, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Now, before we get into the exposition, you have to understand why this is all so important. And we've talked about it before, and I'll talk about it again until I can't talk. In between God and humanity is a gulf, is a spasm, is a space, is a Grand Canyon. And the only way that can properly be bridged, if somebody can represent God and represent mankind or humanity to bridge the gap. But you can't just have somebody who's just human bridge that gap to divinity, and you can't have somebody that's just divine bridge that gap to humanity. In other words, if it's just on God's side, well, then how does it connect to humanity? Or if it's just on humanity's side, how does it connect to God? You can't have that. The key element and the differential between Christianity and any other faith is Jesus is representing God because he is God. That's the Holy Spirit part of the birth. And then he represents man because he is man, and that's the Mary part of the birth. Without that duo combo, without that hypostatic connection, without that, Jesus is fully God, Jesus is fully man. Now remember, he's not half God and he's not half man. Jesus didn't, you know, walk the earth and goes, well, I only have one arm and one leg. It's like, this is not a half a man, right? One eye, half a knot, one out of two nostrils, half a mouth. Jesus isn't half a man. He's fully man. He's born of a woman, but he's fully God, born from the power of the Holy Spirit, fully God. And why that's essential for you and I to understand is because when you pray in Jesus' name, it's not a magical formula. Oh, it's a magical formula. Just say it over and over. Abracadabra, abracadabra. It's like, that's ridiculous. When you come in the name of Jesus Christ to God the Father, you come in the name of he who bridges the gap between human and divine. And this is why the texts say in about 30 places, but in essence, we'll use the Timothy text. There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And the reason that the emphasis is there is because God is stated first, and then people would say, well, you know, he's not man, he's God. And it's like, that's all in the style of writing. So the bottom line, though, is Jesus Christ represents God to man and represents man to God. So that Grand Canyon that's between God and man is filled by Jesus Christ. Now, I do like it when some of the churches do illustrations and they show God on a high mountain and man on a lower valley, and there's a bridge between them, and they use a cross-shaped bridge. Well, I like it. I mean, that's a good illustration. It's accurate. The key component in this is to understand that this is not, you know, you're a right person, so therefore you're not going to get to heaven and God's going to go, why should I let you in? And you're going to go, because my good works outweigh my bad works. It's like, that is never going to work ever. especially because if you really count up your sins, they're at the 350 to 500,000 sin level. Because remember, all inner sins count. It's got to be because of the redeeming work that Jesus Christ sacrificed for me. And I believe in the testimony you've given regarding your son. It has to be through Jesus. And you think, well, what about the people before? That was all pointing towards the cross. Well, what about the people after? It's all pointing back to the cross. You might think it's funny that time kind of changes from B.C., before Christ, to A.D., after death, but it ain't funny because it's a testimony from God. And he'll just go, oh, even your time, even your calendar testified to me. Because nobody's getting away from that. And you have to pray. You have to ask. I don't care if you have a specific style. I've heard 500 styles. I don't care. Who cares about that? You just better ask him. You say, God, please forgive me. I ask Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I don't care if you say it that way. I don't care if you say, Jesus, please come in. I don't care if you say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm a loser. I don't care how you do it. You have to invite him in. And if you don't invite him in and he wants you, he might knock you off your donkey like he did to Paul. Blind you and go, okay, how about now? It's like, look, why would you do that? Listen to me. God has this plan, and it's universal and eternal. And Jesus Christ is the key piece to this puzzle, and he's asked you to be a piece in the puzzle too. If you say no, that is your decision to reject God for eternity. And if you say yes, acknowledge your sin, ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, then you spend eternity with God. And being with God is a lot better in eternity than being without God. So I highly encourage you, if you've never asked him, to do so. There's plenty of ways we can follow up with you. That's not my concern. My concern is that you do it right and do it right before the Lord. Eliphaz, Bildad, Zophar, and some people say it's Eliphaz, but that's okay. The three friends, the Eliphaz, 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 Bildad, and Zophar, that's it. By the way, Joy and Cordy, 4 for 4. Very strong in trivia. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 23-hour break, then we'll be back with more with Spoon Annie with then. Bye.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.